Well, y'all, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead. I'm going to call for an offering. Everybody get silent when I say that. There we go. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and get started. It's a treat for us to have Sandy Richter here to lead us. Part of this is an introduction, again, to what we're doing on Wednesday night. So after this combined Sunday school, let me invite you again to go to the fellowship hall of the women of the church. There'll still be a few representatives there for the women's ministry fair. So if you didn't get to go by, please do that. Also, there's going to be DVDs if you wanted your own. You can pick those up for another Bible study you're doing, or you can just pick up the workbook for Wednesday nights. And we'll begin that study this Wednesday at 6:15. So again, please pick up a workbook before Wednesday night. So we're tickled to have Sandy with us. I want to give her full time. So let me pray as we get started. Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us and revealed yourself to us, your plans and your heart already this morning. And we just pray for these minutes together, that your word would be lifted up, that you would come and speak to your people. We're so thankful, again, for Sandy coming. We just ask blessings on her and blessings on this time. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, I'm loud. Is that loud enough? Are you happy, Rusty? Good. It is so good to see you folks. I'm so blessed to get this opportunity to visit and get to teach you again. Thank you for coming to this combined class. And Barry, thank you so much for launching into the Isaiah study. Yeah, I'm eager to hear your feedback. So I'm on Facebook. If you find portions of the study that you think really connect and portions that you don't, we want to hear about it. Because this is not the law of the Medes and the Persians. This can be changed. So what we're going to do over the course of the 45 minutes that we have together, which is more like 40, is we're going to do some cherry picking from the book of Isaiah to launch an introduction and kind of whet your appetites and get you rolling into this study. But of course, before we can talk about Isaiah, we have to talk about my children. So let me show you pictures. These are the girls that you remember when we were here, Noelle and Elise, being as cute as they possibly can be. Like some of us, they've changed a little bit. So this is them now. Yes, a little change. Elise in particular has... Okay, Rusty, my clicker's not clicking. Ah, okay, Elise has been through several transitions. As you can see, she has been Hermione Granger. She became a pirate briefly, and now she is a rock star. Okay, so that's her transition. As you know, the story that she loves the best is kneeling right here with Renee and Jim Genesee and declaring her public faith. So you, a gift to my family. Made that happen. And Jim loves to tell the story that he was the first one from whom Elise finally got the bread, because that was her life ambition. Okay, what about Noelle? Well, her transitions have involved becoming a world-class soccer star, or at least that's what they tell us, and that's why we pay as much as we do for club soccer, right? The whole braces thing, yeah. So that this is where she is now. I hate it. Where'd my baby go? You know? And the whole middle school thing being a little bit of a challenge, I can now testify. It's true. What can we say? So she's in eighth grade. Elise is 10. And Steve, he hasn't changed at all. So, okay. So I am at Wheaton College, as I think you know, teaching a slew of really bright and fabulous undergrads. There are actually some Meet Wheaton College pamphlets on the book table if you're looking to send your perfect 18-year-olds off somewhere. We would love to have them. And let's therefore get back to our great prophet. The book of Isaiah, you are going to get 1,000 different, we're having a little challenge here. Okay, you are going to, in the course of the study, get a bajillion different resources. You will get timelines, you will get book charts, just a slew of material that will help you walk through this book. So as you sit today, just relax and kind of let it flow in, because all of this material is coming with notes and charts and all the stuff you're going to need. So who is our guy? Who is the great prophet Isaiah? Well, there are many folks out there who would identify him as the greatest of the major prophets. We're remembering that the major prophets are the prophets that have the larger books. That doesn't mean that they are more important or more canonized or more authoritative than the minor prophets. It simply means they have a lot of chapters in their books. Now, why do folks typically speak of Isaiah as the greatest of the prophets? Well, because this book, first of all, is enormous, the longest prophetic book in the Old Testament. It is filled with poetry and elevated speech and presentation and rhetoric, which is stunningly beautiful and sometimes stunningly difficult to understand. But if you are evaluating the prophets based on influence, Isaiah is your man. This book is often actually spoken of as the fifth gospel. In fact, I'm under contract right now with IVP to create something very similar to the Epic of Eden from IVP on Isaiah, and they're entitling the book the fifth gospel. Why is it called that? Because this man has more to say about Israel's coming Messiah than any other speaker in the Old Testament. The New Testament cites the book of Isaiah 60-plus times. That's a lot of citations. To the point where John, our great theologian, gospel writer, actually makes the statement that Isaiah himself saw Jesus' glory and spoke of him. So this book, our fifth gospel, this book that speaks into our understanding of who Jesus is quoted all over your New Testament because your New Testament writers realized that this ancient prophet was speaking of the man that they had come to see and touch and experience, who in their midst had healed blind eyes, made the lame to walk, and announced good news to the poor, all of which was predicted by Isaiah the prophet. So this man is brilliant, first of all. I think he would have had two or three PhDs if he were in our current school system. He is courageous and uncompromising. This man declared that the year of the Lord had come and God's people needed to either step up or stand down. Indeed, when this prophet spoke, kings trembled, and the people of God heard him. Our great challenge as students in January of 2017 is how do we get ourselves into a place where when this prophet speaks, we can hear him the way the ancient Israelites did. So that's the point of our study, and this is essentially what we're going to be doing. We've got to get past the great barrier if we're going to get to the place where we can hear Isaiah the way his original audience did. And just like in the Epic of Eden study I did with you folks, the great barrier is consists of historical realities, geographic realities, culture, idiom, all of these things that separate us from the original presentations. So we're going to have to get past that great barrier in order to hear Isaiah as his audience heard him. Once we place ourselves in his audience's context, these sermons essentially preach themselves. So some of the aspects of our great barrier is asking the question, what is a prophet? And you're going to have an entire study over the course of your Wednesday nights that's dedicated to that question. Now, for those of you who did Jonah with me on Wednesday nights, you've already dealt with this material once, and hopefully it'll be a great refresher for you. So what is a prophet? Who is Isaiah talking to and why? Very important to understand your audience. Every person who does public speaking knows that truth. If you don't understand your audience, you can have the greatest presentation of all time, but it could fall on deaf ears. So you, listening to Isaiah, also need to understand who Isaiah is talking to and why. What are the trigger events for his oracle? What are the crises surrounding his people? So that you understand what he's saying and why. And how in the world do I, a modern-day Christian, go about interpreting ancient Near Eastern prophecy? So all of these topics are going to be dealt with in the larger study, and then probably the biggest one, how in the world do I go about organizing 66 chapters of extremely elevated speech in my mind? Do you know there's 66 chapters in your Bible, or shall I say 66 books in your Bible? And so 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, this is going to be a big deal. So we are going to deal with just a few of these in our gathering together. And the first one we need to deal with is the issue of prophet talk in biblical studies. So what's all this language that surrounds prophets? Well, former versus latter prophets. Have any of you ever heard those phrases before? Former versus latter. That's more seminary speak, probably. In the Jewish canon, the former prophets are, believe it or not, the books of Deuteronomy through 2 Kings. They're what you would know as the historical books. The latter prophets, which is what Isaiah is, are the writing prophets. So Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the 12 minor. Okay, what about major versus minor? Well, Isaiah is a major prophet because he is one of the larger books. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, these are major prophets. And then all of our Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, that is the collection of 12. Now, keep in mind always that there is no difference in authority between these two sets of prophets. It's just that some of them wound up with a larger collection of culled pieces, and some of them wound up with a shorter collection. What about office versus gift? This is another study that we're going to deal with a little bit today and much more in the larger study. The office of the prophet is actually a governmental office in the nation of Israel, because Israel itself is something called a theocracy. We'll get there. And the office has the type of authority, actually, as the Secretary of State has in our government. Whereas the gift, well, there are lots of people who experience prophecy in the Old and the New Testament, and even today, but those gifts of prophecy are temporary. They come, they go. The office of the prophet, well, that's a different story. And Isaiah himself holds that office. How about interpreting prophets? Or a big fancy word for us, hermeneutics of prophecy. How many of you hang on to that word from past studies? Hermeneutics? No, not okay. 75-cent word. You want to say it? Then you can sound really official. Hermeneutics. Say it again. Hermeneutics. Okay, that just means the science of interpreting scripture. That's all it means. And you know how every discipline has like their own lingo, their own slang to make sure that outsiders don't get in? Have you hired a lawyer at any point in time? Yeah. That would be the slang that keeps you from getting in. Well, this is biblical studies slang. So now you're an insider. You can say hermeneutics. Or what in the world is a prophetic book? Well, most people, especially most lay people, when they approach a book that is named the book of Isaiah, they assume that the book is about Isaiah. Yes. Or they approach a book named Amos, and they assume the book is about... Yeah, well, you would be wrong. Okay, these books are not biographies. They're not actually about the character named. In fact, you're going to get very little biographical information about Isaiah himself from his book. We're going to have to cull the information about Isaiah from 2 Kings and from little bits and pieces scattered throughout his book. So they are not biographies. There's no narrative, very little narrative. Isaiah is unique in that it has about three chapters of narrative tucked in the middle. So if it's not narrative, what is it? And the answer to that is that these are anthologies. Anthologies of sermons. That's what the book of Isaiah is. And Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Hosea, Joel, Obadiah. They're anthologies. They're collections of sermons. So, think in terms of the pastors you've had over the course of this year. Let's choose Ben Butler as our example today. All right, so Ben, how long have you been preaching now? 8 years. And 8 years, if you are a senior pastor, you're preaching almost all the time. As an associate pastor, you're preaching six times a year? Okay, six times a year. So 8 years, six times a year. And that already is 48 sermons. Funerals, weddings, Wednesday night services, dedication of fill in the blank. Okay. So we've added another 15 sermons. Now, by the time Ben is old and gray and, you know, very senior and authoritative, I can predict he will have preached somewhere around 7,000 sermons in his lifetime. I've done the math. 7,000 sermons. Isaiah has 66, and Isaiah's a really big deal. Amos has got 9. Hosea's got 12. What does that tell you? It tells you that not every sermon these prophets preached wound up in the book. It tells you that someone somehow, and we would theorize it's the community of faith and those who are inspired of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament community, have culled these sermons and have brought them down to Isaiah's best, or at least the most critical messages he preached to be delivered to the community of faith in his day and in a later day as well. I tell my students often, Isaiah knew that he was not simply speaking for today's audience. He was speaking for a future audience as well. So, anthologies of sermons, and sermons are extremely situational. In other words, a preacher knows his audience. That's the job of a pastor, to understand what's going on in his town, in his city, in her congregation, among her people. And so the preaching is a one-sided message. The other side of the message, or the other side of the conversation, isn't actually in the book. In fact, this is a lot like reading the epistles of Paul. You hear what Paul says, but you don't hear what the Corinthians say. You don't hear what the Ephesians say. You don't hear what the Romans say. And you don't really understand why Paul is saying what he's saying to them, unless you pull out a commentary or a Bible study curriculum and you actually learn what's going on the other side. And I can tell you that in your study of Isaiah, it's going to be critically important that you are able to produce the other side of the conversation, or you're not going to understand what Isaiah is saying. That's why the books are so difficult to deal with. The speech is elevated, it's very sophisticated, and he's speaking into a situation which at this point you know nothing about. So we're going to do a lot with context, because context is king in interpreting the prophets. Our task as students is to discover the other side of the conversation. Let me offer you an example. Listen to these words. I have a dream. Do I even need to go any further? Do you recognize the sermon? I have a dream that one day this nation will live out the meaning of its creed. Do you know who the preacher is? Do you know who he's speaking to? Yeah? Do you know the national crisis that triggered that sermon? Do I need to contextualize those words for you at all? And the answer, of course, is no. We are Americans. We know exactly who that preacher is. We know exactly the national crisis that triggered his words. We live with the consequences of the national sin that created that sermon every day of our lives. And as a result, when we hear the words that I have a dream that one day my four children will live in a nation where they will be judged by not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, our hearts swell and are broken because we know the truth of those words and we are convicted by those words. I will not be done with you with the book of Isaiah until the words of Isaiah have the same impact on you that the words of Martin Luther King Jr. have on you. And the only way we're going to do that is by discovering the other half of the conversation. Okay, so now we want to ask, how are these books organized? If they are indeed anthologies, what is the theme to the anthology? Now, most people approach a prophet and they assume that chapter 1 is the first sermon he ever preached, chapter 6 is the sixth sermon, and chapter 45 is the 45th sermon. Well, let's pick on Ben again and say, so Ben, if you started off your career and your first 39 sermons were fire and brimstone, everybody's going to hell, and then the next 27 sermons were, by the way, there is redemption and restoration, how long do you think you'd keep your first appointment? Not real long. Okay, so this is how Isaiah is organized. The first 39 chapters are all about judgment. They're all about the hammer coming down. If you were in the early service, we talked about the reality of the exile, which is when that hammer finally came down. But this is not the chronological order of the book. These anthologies, the order of these oracles, the way they've been placed, is just as theological as the content of the oracles themselves. So there's a structure, and that structure has a message. And in the book of Isaiah, that structure is thematic, it is theological, and it has a point. And the point of the structure of the book of Isaiah is that redemption, restoration, follows judgment. And that the God that we serve is never done with bringing the hammer down. That's not what he's about. He brings the hammer down so that he can restore the nation. And so the structure of the book of Isaiah, which is complex, this is a hard book. You are stepping on to a challenging journey here. The structure of the book is we start with judgment and we end with restoration and redemption. So let's take a look at the structure of this book. And again, in the book study guides that you were picking up this morning, all of this material is in there. We are really lucky because Isaiah doesn't leave us out just floating. Yes, the book is complicated. Yes, it is challenging. But lucky for us, our author himself actually gives us the key for how to interpret his book. And you can see it here right on this passage. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I declare them to you. What are the former things? The former things are Isaiah chapter 1 through 39. The former things are Israel in her sin. Israel's impending judgment. Or as I like to say, Israel as she was. The second half of the book is the latter things, as the author tells us, the new things, which is Israel's hope for restoration after judgment. There are six different references in this book to the former versus the latter things. Isaiah as a book is one of the best organized pieces in the Old Testament. You can tell it was precious to this community of faith. You can tell that Isaiah himself went over and over it, and his disciples went over it and over it. There's not one misstep. There's not one error in footnote. It is completely, perfectly structured. And Isaiah is letting you know that what I'm up to here